The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com. Hello and welcome to another live episode of Wrestling with Jonas. My second live interview in the space of 24 hours. Yesterday, of course, I had the wonderful JJ Gale, one of Rev Pro's very brightest, youngest and hottest stars on the scene. And today, for a Wednesday evening, episode 326. And I've got the wonderful, the giant killer, one of the very best and busiest performers on the European scene, Mila Smith. Mila, how are you doing? And fantastic to have you on the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure. And I'm really happy to be able to be on the show. And thank you so much. And yeah, I'm doing wonderful. Like I had a chill day, productive day. So I'm pretty good. What about you?
Good. No, very good. And very happy that we're finally able to do this because, of course, this is rescheduled. I was meant to have interviewed you a couple of months ago and I was struck down with a mystery virus. But lovely to be speaking to you. And of course, we're live. So for anybody watching live at home via Facebook Live, YouTube or Twitch, you want to get in touch with the show, you can do. The details are scrolling along the bottom of the screen, but simply send us your questions using your chosen device. They'll come through to us. And we'll do our very best during the course of this interview to answer all of your questions. And I think we've had a few questions drop through already, which I'll bring up during the course of this interview. But Mila, fantastic to have you on the show. And I mean, 2023 has been a fantastic year for you. And I know you've been in the business for a few years, but I think certainly the last couple of years, your professional wrestling career has really started to pick up. And 2023 in particular has been a very, very good and successful year for you so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, I'm really happy. You know, I'm never satisfied because you always, as soon as you reach one goal, you set the next one and then the next one and then the next one. So you're never really satisfied because you're perfectionist, right? You can always do more. You always want more. But what I'm happy about and proud about so far is that I didn't waste time in my career. So I always make every show count and every, you know, I just kept evolving. And yeah, those last, since COVID ended, just my career has just exploded. And the last years has been like fantastic. I've been evolving so much, progressing so much. And I really found myself in the ring, I guess.
You're feeling confident about your abilities and kind of where you're at in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, I know I made a lot of progress during this year in particular. And as I said, I found myself in the ring and now I'm really taking the next step. And I'm leveling up, you know. So yeah. And I'm still working on it and stuff because work never stops, right?
Absolutely.
But I'm really happy so far from, especially this year, it's been great. Yeah, I'm grateful.
Absolutely. And most weekends, you're very, very busy around Europe, the European scene. It's not just one country that you limit yourself to. You're all over Europe. But this past weekend, let's talk a bit about it, because you were in Hanover, Germany, defending your Power of Wrestling Women's Championship. There you are in front of their banner holding that. That's a beautiful championship as well, the lovely pink strap, but it's a very, very beautiful belt. I think you've had that championship for over 1 year now, haven't you? So you've had a successful run with it. Tell us a little bit about your journey with Power Wrestling and that championship in particular.
So my journey with Power Wrestling has been pretty long so far. Like I started working with them for the company in 2019.
Yeah.
And I think the first weekend where I've been there with my very best friend Anastasia Bardot, and we won together like the tag team women's championship on the first night there. Boom. And then the next day, unfortunately, we lost them against Madison Myers and Kat Sarin. Then they defended their titles and they did their thing. We've been booked in other places, and then I came back as a single competitor last year, if I'm correct. Yeah, last year. And then had that championship match against Amara and Kat Sarin, and I won the title, the championship, this time on my own. And yeah, so far I just kept it, and last weekend kept it again, and now let's go for one more year.
Absolutely, absolutely. So congratulations on the lengthy reign there, but I don't think
Thank
that's
you.
the only championship that you've been holding for quite a while. We'll talk more about your titles very, very soon. And then on Sunday, this happened, didn't it? Corey McRae. That's a tweet of his and that you replied to, and essentially you beat up Corey McRae. You actually defeated him for his championship. Now it was Ultimate Pro Wrestling, wasn't it? And the sorry, Unlimited champion.
Unlimited wrestling, yeah.
That's right. And you beat him for the Unlimited Challenge title. Tell us a little bit about that, because Corey McRae, he's a pretty tough character on the UK scene, and he hits hard, he kicks hard, but you can see he's marked up a little bit there. So that looks like a lot of fun. And tell us a bit about that day and that match with Corey.
Well, first of all, that day was so meaningful, because especially for the women's wrestling, because it was such a huge statement to be able to win that championship, as I've been the first ever woman in Germany who was ever able to hold a man's title as a single competitor.
Wow, congratulations. That's huge.
Thank you. There's been Stephanie Mays, with Mudo for the tag team, as a tag team.
Yeah.
They won in WXW, but as a single competitor, it's been the first time ever in a country that has been done. So that was, first of all, really meaningful, because now I really hope it's going to open doors to women's wrestling in Unlimited, and for this title too, and maybe created like a women's division, an entire division. That was the first point. Also, this match was a lot of fun. It was, we just beat the shit out of each other. Like, honestly, that guy is really tough, and he's got that big background in like boxing and MMA. I got
Yeah.
that background in Olympic wrestling. So the mix of styles just fit so well, and we had a lot of fun. Like, we just battled so hard. Like, I have bruises everywhere on my body because of him, and he's marked as well. Like, I made sure he had marks too.
You can tell that he's pretty banged up after that match. But yeah, I think he acknowledged that it was a really fun match, and he congratulated you, of course. But a really, really fun match. So a busy weekend. But as I said, you're busy most weekends, traveling around Europe, France, Germany, Belgium, Austria. Occasional trips over to Pakistan as well, but you are one of the busiest professional wrestlers I'm aware of, and let's say constantly traveling. What's it like to be so active and busy, and especially kind of traveling the miles that you do?
Well, it was honestly a okay, on a professional level,
Yeah,
it's a blessing, right? Because you
of
get to
course.
work a lot, you get to be seen, the more you're seen, the better it is, right? So
Yeah.
you want to make sure you have a lot of matches going on. You have a lot of shows, so you make sure that's the only way you can progress and evolve, is that you have practice in the ring. So a lot of matches. Then it's good for image, because the people see you. So the more they see you, the more, they get used to you, and you have like, you increase your fan base and stuff. So it's awesome experiences. It's a blessing on a professional level. Now, it is really hard, and that's why wrestling is not for everybody. It's because that lifestyle is particular, it's really special,
Yeah.
Like, on the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I spent 4 days at home.
No way. That's crazy.
4 to 5 days, yeah. So basically those last 3 weeks has been me being on the road, going to work, doing those shows, going from city to city for doing those shows, and then getting back home, unpack my stuff, wash them, repack them, go again. That's basically the life of a professional wrestler. It's like, you don't have a lot of time to do something else, you know, to see your friends, see your family, see those, you know. We don't have a normal life. But yeah, that's the life I choose, and I chose, and I really love it. I'm so grateful for being that busy, because a few years back it wasn't that way, especially when like everybody, when I started, it wasn't that way. And I remember when I started, I dreamed about that. I was seeing like those guys mainly like being on the road, having that rock star life, and I was like, I want to do this. I want to have that lifestyle too. I want to get there. And, you know, now that I can have time to have that step back and look at it, and I'm just so grateful for it, because now I get to live it. Yes, it's not easy every day. Of course it's not. But, you know, if it was easy, everybody could do it. And great things don't come easy. So I'm really just happy for the life I'm living right now.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Now, we've had one person reach out already. Now, his name won't come up on the screen, but I can tell you now that it's a certain Marty Jones. Former guest of the show, former trainer of yours, of course. Good evening to you both, especially to our Squared Circle European female champion, Mila Smith. So, hi, Marty. Thank you for watching.
Hey, Marty. Thank you so much.
Such a great guy, such a great guy. And speaking of that, I want to kind of reel off your championships. Now, I had to clarify before we went live how many championships you hold at the moment. Of course, you are the belt collector of European wrestling, and of course you are indeed the Squared Circle European Women's Champion, of course, the FFCP champion in France. The Power of Wrestling Women's Champion in Hanover, Germany. You recently became Sunday, of course, the Unlimited Challenge Champion after beating Corey McRae. The Ring of Pakistan Women's Champion, the Prata Kachin Women's Champion, and of course the current Tigers Pro Wrestling Women's Champion, of course, over in Marseille, France. And I've got some pictures of some of their wonderful championships that you hold. Seven titles in total at the moment. And all of them look better being over your shoulder, I have to say.
Thank you. Some
wonderful bouts there, some wonderful pictures. And there you are in all of your glory. And of course, there's the Tigress Championship for Tigers Pro Wrestling over in France. When you look at them pictures and think about the accomplishments and the many successes you've had, that must fill your heart and make you feel very proud.
Well, yeah, of course. It's as I said before, it's really meaningful. It means that, you know, hard work is paying off. So I'm really happy for it. I'm really happy about it. That's what I'm saying, you know, since before, like even for the titles, for the road, I'm just so grateful for the life I'm living right now. And because I worked so hard to get here, to get there, that now that it's finally happening and starting, because it's just starting, guys. I'm not done yet. I'm just starting.
Far from it.
So now that it's starting to work and to pay off, like I just can't be anything else than just grateful and feeling blessed for it. So yeah, and those titles has been had a lot of meanings too. Like for example, the Tigress Women's Champion, Prata Kachin Women's Championship, or Ring of Pakistan Women's Championship, I've been like, for those promotions, I've been the first ever women's champion. So it's there's a lot of meaning there, you know. That means like we are creating something, we're all building a product, we're all building a division, we're all building and creating stuff. And being the first ever is just awesome. It's a lot of pressure, but it's also like really meaningful. And I have no words. Like, I feel so grateful for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll talk more about them championships a bit later on. But you spoke about, you know, firsts, you know, history making, being a groundbreaker, being a, you know, evolving the business, being the first to do things. And one of those was this here, and that was the very first female steel cage match in French wrestling history. And I think it was only April this year, earlier this year. And was it with a female performer called Jessie J, if I'm not mistaken?
Absolutely.
But tell us a bit about that, because I'm sure there's been many steel cage matches in French wrestling history, but you were in the very first all-female steel cage match in France or French wrestling history. Another milestone.
Yeah, another doors opened. And
yeah,
as I said, this, all those things I'm so grateful for the past 3 years is like, not only we've been doing matches and good matches, but also we've been opening doors to women's wrestling in general, to, you know, for the next generations to be able like to make a statement for it and be like, we can do it too, and here's the proof.
Yeah.
And so that match was a lot of pressure too, because it was the first ever. So whenever it's the first ever, it needs to be good. Because it doesn't matter what happens next or who comes next, you will always remember the first one. So it has to be good, right? It has to be on the level, on the same level of the guys, you know?
Of
like,
course.
Be like, strike as hard as them, be as tough as them, use the cage as much as them to show like we're not afraid. Because like that's what we want. We've been working so hard for this and fighting so hard for this. Now it's happening. Let's make it big.
Absolutely. And I mean, that steel cage matches are always very punishing, aren't they? How kind of grueling and punishing was the match? And how were the, you know, the 2 or 3 days afterwards? Did you feel it?
Honestly, so Jessie and I wrestled already a couple of times before together, and she's a really tough competitor. That's why I wanted to wrestle her in that cage so much, because I knew I would have that raw and tough fight that we can put up in front of fans and on TV or on YouTube or anywhere, just to make it sure that it was at that level and that good, you know. So we know each other and we know that we both strike hard. So, and then we used the cage. The cage was really stiff. It's you know, the old school cage.
Yeah.
It's really like, wow, it was really stiff. Like we both had like our elbows bleeding and bruises everywhere. And we were both like super sore after the match and really happy about the match because it went well and the fans were in it and, you know, it worked the way we wanted to. And the result was great, but it was punishing. Like the cage is no joke. Like, don't do this at home because there's no joke.
Absolutely. Like, after,
you know, I'm wearing a hoodie because it's cold now, but if I'm not, like, you can see I have bruises literally everywhere. On every weekend, whenever I come home,
yeah.
And the first day when I come home, I'm always like doing absolutely nothing. Like I just go to gym to do cardio and stuff, but that's about it. Like if I can just rest, I just rest the whole day, and just do my laundry and like other stuff and meal prep and everything. But I just do not. And I book massages and I book like appointments to physio and stuff, because wrestling is punishing, you know. Like we throw our bodies all over the place, like every weekend to entertain people. So we hurt. Like even if it's not injuries, wrestling hurt all the time, every time. So yeah, and especially that much, because like with the cage on top of that, it was really hard. I think that for the next 2 days, like I took the plane to get home, or I think I had like another show the next day. I think it was GWF. I'm not sure anymore, but I know like I remember in the plane that I was like just so sore, and I didn't know like how to sit and how to position myself, just because like it was just so hurting. And when I came home, like I just rested for like 2 days, something like that.
Absolutely. It makes you wonder if just an ordinary person in the street took that same type of punishment, they'd probably be in the hospital bed.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we train so hard. It's
Yeah,
because
exactly.
and even imagine with the amount of trainings that we have, like in the ring and everywhere, like at the gym, because we don't just go to gym to look good, right? We go to the gym to build muscle. Why
Yeah.
do we build muscle? Because it protects our joints and our bones and everywhere and everything from the bumps, from even just running in the ropes hurt. Like I got bruises on my back and on my legs from just running in the ropes. So going like training that hurt, and like we learn how to bump, we learn how to roll, we learn how to protect ourselves. So yeah, of course, like it's a job, you know? It's not
Yeah.
just something like that, like you do for fun. It's a job.
Exactly. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that was for Tigers Pro Wrestling. And
Yes.
sticking with Tigers Pro Wrestling, because, and I think it was last year, they also hosted the very first all-female wrestling show in French history. So we go from the very first all-female steel cage match in French history to the very first all-female show in French history with the same group. Here's a couple of backstage shots. There you are alongside Myla Grace, who was your opponent for the day, and the fantastic collection of talent that were involved in the show.
Oh,
And
yeah.
you headlined the show, you main evented the show with your Tigers Pro Wrestling Women's Championship, of course. But that must be, like I say, another milestone, another another massive achievement in your career and for women's wrestling. That's pretty special and another massive accomplishment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, of course, everything in that helps the next generation
Sure.
is a massive accomplishment, whether if it's in women's wrestling or wrestling in general. It's always something that we really want, where we really want to perform good, to make a statement, to really push our limits, because we know that on this show in particular, something can happen, something can change the future for not just for me, right? But like for everybody, for all the girls who's gonna start, who are in the ring already, or who's gonna start soon in the next years, you know?
Yeah.
So like my trainer always said, like Tom LaRuffa, he said to me, you know, like for now you're, when I started, he said, like, for now you're a rookie and you learn and you take from the business. But like there will be a point where you will have to give it back and make sure during your career you can give something back. That's the best accomplishment you can have.
Yeah.
And if you can inspire someone, then you won. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not a veteran yet. Like I'm not. I'm somewhere in between, because I'm not a rookie anymore, but I'm not a veteran either.
Oh, you're highly
But
respected for sure.
yeah, thank you. But yeah, I don't consider myself as a veteran yet. I still like, call me a veteran when I'll be like 10, 15 years in the business, maybe, even not
Yeah.
now. But still, like to the point where I am, like I'm one of the most experienced women in European wrestling right now. Not the only one, but one of them. And so my job is to take care of the rookies and of the other girls, the young girls who are coming in. So, you know, it's always, I want to give something back for them, you know. Whatever I do now is like not just for me. You need to think bigger. You need to see the bigger picture.
And I'm guessing there's a sense of responsibility on your shoulders as well, especially with your rise on the scene, your achievements, your accomplishments, and being the first to do many things in your career. Do you kind of feel a certain burden or a certain sense of responsibility on your shoulders? You mentioned the next generation of performers and people kind of underneath you. Do you feel that sense of responsibility?
Yeah, I feel the responsibility, but you know, it's 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. So it depends, like how and from which angle do you see it, from which perspective. Like I see it, I see everything in wrestling or in my job, so as a challenge. You know, I don't see it as a burden or as something I need, a weight I need to carry with me or something like that. I see it as a challenge because caring the girls and like helping them and like giving them, you know, something is like teaching me a lot. Like I teach, like I've learned so much, like as a worker, but also as a person.
Yeah.
Caring like the young girls in the ring or outside the ring, that it's always a challenge. It's always something that an opportunity for me to keep on learning and to so yeah, it's a win-win situation, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I checked your socials, of course, and your bio for your Twitter. I think it has about 14 flags there, 14 countries that you've wrestled in. It could be more, but traveling to all these wonderful countries around Europe and around the world, Mila, you must have so many fun experiences, learning about new cultures, maybe learning new languages, new experiences, new people. What are some of your most favorite aspects about traveling around the world and around Europe? Learning these new cultures and new nationalities?
Honestly, this is like one of the most fun part for me is like, yeah. I'm really, really sociable and friendly person. Like I love meeting new people. I love connecting with people and I love human interactions. You know, I love whenever I'm in the locker room or something, you'll always see me like talking to everyone and like joking around with everybody. Like, that's just the way I am, right? So whenever like I get the opportunity to travel and go to a new country or on another country or on another promotion or whatever, I'm just super happy because, you know, that's the beauty of wrestling. There's so some of those experiences that I would have never experienced without wrestling. So just being able to see new people every time or every weekend to learn new languages, because I've been living 2 years and a half, almost 3 years in Germany, in Hamburg. And so I've learned a little bit of German, so I can understand pretty good. I can survive with my speaking, but I can understand pretty good. And, you know, like those experiences I would have maybe never had, I would have never had that without wrestling. And then I went to Japan, the US, Israel, Pakistan, Jordan, whatever. It was just every time it's just awesome because you get to meet people you would have never met otherwise, and you get to learn about new cultures, and it just opens your mind to,
yeah,
you know, makes you grow as a person so much.
Absolutely. And you had the opportunity, I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, to work over in Japan, didn't you? A wonderful, yeah, opportunity, such a highly respected country for its culture and for its professional wrestling as well. But I think you're only over there maybe for a short period of time, but a wonderful opportunity, a great experience. I'm sure that you probably learnt a lot while you're out there as well. Tell us a bit about your Japanese experience.
Yeah, my experience in Japan was wonderful. I was traveling on my own for I worked for Reina, TCW, and the promotion of Kazushi Miyamoto.
Yeah.
So I had like 3 to 4 shows. I've been there for like a month, and I had my flat there. It was just awesome. The experience was awesome. I went to Tokyo with the Headseekers. There was James Mason, Rick Steiner was there, and we went just on tour for TCW at this period. Like we were just the whole week all together, had, yeah, like media events and the show obviously, and it was so great. The culture is so different than the European one, so it was wonderful just to be able to experience that and see how people live somewhere else, you know, and get to learn all of that, as well as the wrestling part, of course. But it was like the whole experience was really, really awesome because it was so different. So it was like, it felt like a different world, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
And yeah, yeah. And I would love to go back to Japan. I would love to.
Absolutely. I think the Mila Smid of 2023 would be a perfect fit for the Japanese wrestling scene. And they've got so many awesome female only promotions over there. And they got to get you back over there, Mila, for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you.
Absolutely. And a promotion a bit closer to home and a promotion very close to your heart is GWF, isn't it? Is it the German Wrestling Federation? And I think certainly for the last couple of years, it's been the promotion you've probably wrestled the most for over the last couple of years. Tell us a bit about the GWF and your journey with those, because as I said, I think it's one of them promotions that's given you a lot of opportunities, some really great experiences, and is probably very close to your heart.
Oh yeah, they're definitely really close to my heart. They are. I'm so grateful for stepping into their locker room and be able to perform for them every month since like the last 3 years.
Yeah,
it's honestly one of the best promotion I ever performed for in my career. I'm talking, of course, about the product itself, about the setup, the whole product, the in-ring quality, the fans, the crowd, that's for sure, but as well as backstage, like the mentality, the atmosphere backstage is awesome. Everybody is really building each other up, really making sure, you know, giving feedbacks to each other, trying to help each other out. And I think that promotion GWF made was a big influence, and definitely one of the reasons why I evolved so much and so fast, because you got guys like, of course, the promoter, like Ahmed Sher and his brother Mike, who's going to give you feedbacks on the F for every match, and they know exactly what they want for the product and they know where they're going, and it's so professional, and as well as like family. So the mix of both is just amazing. And then you got guys like Axel Tischer, who's always available for feedbacks and for helping you out and stuff. And those guys just made me improve so much. They gave me a platform to express myself every month for the past 3 years. And I'm just so grateful for them. They give me a real space, and they gave me the opportunity to grow, and they really helped me grow. And yeah, they're like family, you know. It's a big family. GWF is a big family.
Oh, 100%. And can I bring up a picture here, because you are, of course, their former GWF Women's Champion. That's not the eighth title that we could have spoken about earlier, but a former champion. I'm sure it's a championship you'd love to regain in the future. But another thing that struck me about the GWF is that they do give you and a lot of the female talent opportunities for intergender matches, to have matches with the guys, whether that be one-on-one or in tag team competition. You know, although that's not uncommon across promotions in the UK and Europe, it's still it's not unique either. What's that experience like? Because I know we spoke about Corey McRae earlier in your match with him on Sunday, and you're not afraid of any competition, male or female, but getting some of them intergender matches and opportunities must be good fun and a different type of challenge.
Yes, for sure. So with GWF, we started to build that division, the intergender tag team division, last year. Yeah, or beginning of 2023. It was during this year when we really started. And so my tag team partner is Crochester in GWF. He's an awesome wrestler. If you get the opportunity to see his work, to just go check his matches. He's just crazy guy and crazy talent. So we really like started to build that division this year all together. And as I said before, it's a team effort, it's the teamwork, and everybody is like so willing to help each other and to build each other up, that is working so well. The crowd loves it, we love it. It's opportunity to do something different, you know. Yeah. To be different, to to learn something different too, and it breaks the routine as well, you know. It breaks the routine for us as workers, but it breaks the routine for the fans, because they get to see something different every month too, every show. So yeah, it's been great experience so far. And me as a single competitor this time against Corey McCrae, for example, it allows me to do different things and to behave a different way and to be different. I love competing with girls, don't get me wrong, but you know, when I first started Olympic wrestling, especially, like, I always trained with guys. That means, like, I've always just trained mostly with guys.
Yeah.
Like, even now when I go on the mat in my family's club, like, I train with my cousins, and they're like all guys on the mat. Like, I'm the only girl there. So yeah. It's just as well a throwback for me to do intergender matches in a way, because like I was used so much to fight against guys and stuff on training, at least, that it's just, you know, a little throwback for me as well. So it's always cool, and we just go all in work with the guys. We just like strike each other, beat the shit out of each other, like with Corey. It was so much fun.
Yeah. And one clip in particular on your socials that made me pop was when you suplexed John Klinger. Is it John Klinger? The German legend. And that was obviously in one of the intergender tag matches that you was referring to. And he's a big dude. Yeah. You just picked him up like he's nothing, threw him over your shoulder. Another day at the office, John Klinger's going that way, you're going that way. But that looked like a lot of fun. And he's a big guy, isn't he? He's a big guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he's a veteran in the German scene. He's awesome. Like, he's awesome worker. And, those big guys. You know, when I was in Japan, I did a triple threat as well against two guys. And they were, like, same size, most likely, of John. And so it's not new for me to do intergender matches, right? So sure. It was, like, it was just so much fun. So I just, like, picked him up. I was, like, that's Olympic wrestling, baby. Let's go.
Absolutely. Well, when I think of female workers from France, I think of yourself, and I also think of Kira Chimera, somebody you know very, very well, somebody that's doing some fantastic stuff over here on the UK scene. She's the current Rixie Pro champion over in France. But you two, I think you wrestled maybe, was it a few years ago, maybe in September for Rixie?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And she stole the victory for me. I was supposed to win that freaking title, and my foot was under the rope, and the ref just, by anything, like any chance, miracle for her, didn't see it. So I need that rematch, and I need that belt on my collection. Thank you.
Have you faced her before? Have you worked Kira before? Because looking at my research, that might have been the first time encounter.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the first time we ever faced each other in the ring.
Wow. Yeah. And she's doing some great stuff over here in the UK. And I've seen her quite a bit at various shows across the UK. And she's got so much fire, so much passion. And she's just, a bundle of kind of fury and energy. I'd love to see a rematch between the two of you. And like you say,
unfinished business. We need to go for round two.
Absolutely. Speaking of you suplexing John Klinger over your head like it was nothing, you do a bit of bodybuilding as well, or did do a bit of bodybuilding. I know that you frequent the gym on a daily basis, but am I right in thinking that you've done a bit of bodybuilding or some heavy weights in the past?
Yeah, I've been doing a bodybuilding contest, like in the category of bikini. Yeah. When I was 19, so it was 6 years ago. As I said, you know, I just like to challenge myself. And at this point, I was still studying, and I was doing my degree in personal training. So I was like, we never know what tomorrow will be. So if one day I get someone coming to me, a client coming to me and said, like, hey, I want to get ready for this and that competition, But I need to leave it and to do it at least once to have that experience myself, you know. You
Yeah.
can't teach something you don't know. So, and as well as I love challenges and I need competition, especially at this point. I was coming back from ankles injuries from several months out. So I was like, I needed that preparation and that competition goal to get back to work and, you know, get motivated to get up every morning and get my training done and everything.
Yeah.
So I just like, I knew like I needed this at this point to get things done.
Absolutely. How would you describe your in-ring wrestling style then, Mila? Because obviously we're going to talk amateur wrestling or Olympic wrestling background. Obviously combined that with you're very, very athletic. I think you've got a gymnastics background as well. You're very strong, you're very powerful. So there's a lot of things going on there. And you've had what, 6 years, 7 years experience as a pro now training. How would you describe your wrestling style in 2023?
Well, my start right now, yeah, you mentioned like I did gymnastics when I was a kid for like
yeah.
4 years, so I got good rest from it, I guess. So I did, yeah, I did Olympic wrestling for like 12 years, and
wow.
I had the opportunity with my travels and everything to actually wrestle and train a bit everywhere. So I've been training in France, I've been training in the UK, I've been training in Germany, I've been training in the US, I've been training in Japan. So I try like to every time pick some stuff and make them mine. And so like I think now at least that's my goal, is to be as versatile as possible, just be able to do a little bit of everything and be able to adapt to everything, every situation, every match. I don't want to feel like I have limitations in the ring. So I try like to be, yeah, just as much more versatile as possible. Now, my background and my base are Olympic wrestling. So you're going to see, if you look at my matches, you're going to see mainly Olympic wrestling and mainly strong style, because that's who I am.
Yeah.
But on every match, you're going to see something different. Maybe a high flying move, maybe something from Japan, maybe something from there and there. And yeah, just to make people wonder what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of versatility there and a lot of variation in your technique, but everything is very smooth. And I think technique is kind of a very apt word for yourself, because there's a lot of technique in what you do. You're very smooth, very accomplished. And like I say, you've got the different
Thank
influences
you.
There as well, for sure. Were you a professional wrestling fan growing up? Because we mentioned gymnastics, we mentioned amateur Olympic wrestling, but was there any sort of fandom of professional wrestling growing up?
Yeah, sure. I started watching wrestling, pro wrestling, when I was like 9 or 10. And I only started Olympic wrestling when I was 12. So I definitely started Olympic wrestling to become a professional wrestler.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely. And it just was something natural for me as well to start. I mean, by that, Olympic wrestling, because I come from an Olympic wrestling family. So it was like, it wasn't easy, because at first my granddad didn't want to train me because I was a girl. So I had to make my proof first, and then he trained me. But I definitely started Olympic wrestling to be pro wrestler.
Yeah,
I was definitely a fan.
Absolutely. And after your Olympic wrestling, you did that for 12 years. At what point did you think to yourself, I want to start training to be a professional wrestler? What was that transition? What was that moment in your head that made you think, I'm going to transition from amateur or Olympic wrestling to professional wrestling?
So when I was the age of 13, 14, I started reaching out to Tom LaRuffa via
right.
Facebook and Messenger and stuff like that. I just wrote him like a big message, thinking that he would never answer me, because he was just getting signed to NXT, so he was over in the US. And I asked him like a few advices, like how to start, when to start, where to start, and like ask him some guidance and stuff, right? And I just explain him like what I was doing already, what I was planning on doing, and what I wanted to become. And like he answered me like real fast, and then he just guided me from there. And like, so he's my mentor in the business since I'm like 14, so even before I started pro wrestling. And he's the man who told me, okay, now you need to stay in Olympic wrestling, and then when you go to that age, then you'll be able to start maybe seminars and training and see if you really like it and if you really want to go for it. And then if that's so, then just keep on training from there and see where it goes and go on shows and stuff like that. So I started training my first seminar. I think I was 18. I was 18, I guess. And then
Yeah.
when I first started that those seminars and stuff, I was like, that's what I want to do with my life for sure. But I was still studying and I was still competing in Olympic wrestling. And then that year I was also like doing that bodybuilding bikini contest. I was doing a lot of things together because I was younger and I was like naive, and I thought that I was like some kind of superhero, that my body could just take everything at the same time. Well, the result was, if you guys watching wondering like if your body can handle it, I'm gonna answer you. My body just told me to stop, and like this is the reason why I broke my knee on that
Right.
year. And I just started my career in pro wrestling, right? I had like 4 matches, and then I broke my knee. And then during my recovery, I told myself like, you need to make a choice now. Like, either you come back and you compete again in Olympic wrestling, but then you just go for fun to pro, or you want to make it your job. You want to go there for a living, and you need to stop competing.
Yeah.
And so I went for the option two, and I made wrestling, professional wrestling, my job, and I'm not competing anymore in Olympic wrestling. Just going there to train myself, train the kids or the young ones, and just like working on my physical conditioning, cardio, techniques, whatever. But I'm not competing anymore. I'm not even fighting for real, like on the mat anymore during the trainings, because not to get injured for the shows.
Yeah. And very early on in your pro career, in your professional wrestling career, if I'm not mistaken, you wrestled a match over here in the UK. I think you may only have been maybe a handful of matches into your career, and you're
It was
already
my
kind of,
third match.
no way.
It was my third match against Dominita.
How did you get that opportunity, especially being so new?
Well, honestly, there was like the promoter of BEW, Declan. He was like looking for talents, and it was a charity show. And then there was like a book. He's a professional wrestler from France. He told me, hey, do you want to come with me to the UK and stuff? Like, there's this show, and it could be good for your experience and stuff like that. And obviously, I was free this weekend because I was not as busy as now.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, for sure. And then like I wanted to train too, so like I just came like I sort for a good period of time back and forth to UK to train as well. And then I got like opportunities to have shows at the same time.
Yeah, and another thing I noticed, and this may have been maybe a year or two into your career, but still fairly early on, is Pakistan and getting the opportunity to go out there, perform out there. Now, Pakistan doesn't automatically come onto my radar as being a wrestling country, a professional wrestling country, but maybe it has got a scene out there. I'm not sure. But how did you first get onto that company's radar, and what's your experience of going out there? Certainly early on in your career, Mila.
Yeah, it was early in my career too. I think like my first match there was my 11th match in my career.
Yeah, very early on.
So it was really early, and it was a bit scary at first because I didn't have that experience about media stuff and cameras everywhere. And because we do a lot of media press conferences, media stuff, like a lot there, a lot of communication, a lot of TV moments and stuff like that, which is great. I enjoy it now, but like back then I was nervous. I didn't know, like I had no experience. Like they really made my first experience like on TV and that was my first TV tapings there, like in my
Really?
career.
Yeah.
Because the first show we did, we had something like 7,000-8,000 people. Like the last one we did, it was about 15,000 to 18,000.
That's huge.
And so yeah, like the demo, they don't have like really indie wrestling there. That they know the main company, they know WWE, and
sure.
then there's Ring of Pakistan. So whenever there's a live event, like it's booked, it's packed. Like people love wrestling, they're on demand, really. So
yeah.
It's always a fun experience. We it's always great. Pakistan is always really fancy when we go on tour there, and we see, like, you know, we've been invited to, for example, to a fashion show. There we've been taking the tea with the governor. We've been doing a lot of cool stuff.
That's
so
really cool.
There was a lot of good experience there. A lot of good
and stuff. I've seen footage of you going out to your matches in these packed arenas, and the fireworks, and just the production is just, it's almost what you would find in like a major promotion, you know, whether that be in Europe or over in the States. But it really is high level production over there, and they take it very seriously, don't they? They take it very seriously.
Oh, it is. Yeah, the setup is great. Like the production is awesome. It's awesome. It's always a great experience.
Absolutely. And we spoke a bit off air before we went live, and you had a WWE tryout, I think, in Germany in 2018, mm-hmm. didn't you? Now, I've got a couple of pictures to bring up here from that time. Oh, in fact, that's a picture from one
Pakistan.
Of your visits to Pakistan, of course. And here we go. That's a picture from your socials of you just about to lock up with one of the other tryout students there, and a little bit of a group shot afterwards. But a fantastic opportunity. How did you get onto WWE's radar for that tryout in the first place? And give us a bit of insight into your experience and how it went.
So how I went there, first, it was crazy because I just received a message from Célian Varini, who is like commentator for wrestling and UFC and I mean MMA and stuff like that. So, and he's been a wrestling commentator for a long time, and we get along pretty well. He's a good friend of mine. He's seen me starting pro wrestling. And I just remember at that time, I just broke my knee. I just came back from recovery for 1 year out.
Wow.
And I just came back to do some small shows just to get back to it, right? And then I received that those files by message, text message me and said, hey, you should apply there. And I looked at them and was like, I just got injured. Like, they will never ask me to come over. I'm 19 and I'm freshly 20. And I'm just like getting started in my career. I'm a rookie and I'm already injured. Like, they would never call me. And I told the same to Tom, you know. I was like, what should I do? Should I really do that? They would never call me. And the boys just look at me and say, hey, you got nothing to lose by trying. So I just filled in the papers, send them to the PC, because it was you know, you can apply on the PC,
yeah.
Performance Center website. So those were like the documents that I received that I filled in and I sent back. And then like 2 weeks before, like no, 1 month before the tryout, they answered me and they invited me for the tryout. And I just could not believe it. I was like, what? Because they asked like a lot. They asked everything about your life, right? So you got at some point to tell them that you got injured here and there, you have this surgery there, and they know about it, right? So I was like, god, did they really call me? Like, wow, I only had like 10 matches, right, when I had my first tryout. So
wow.
WWE has been a great experience for me, incredible. And I'm not saying that because it's WWE, but they always made me grow. Like, they always gave me like guidance that changed my career. Like, every time you I had a WWE appearance, whether it was a trial or TV tapings was NXT UK, for example. Every time I've been to WWE, it's been a huge turning point in my career where they just seen me grow like throughout the years, and it just kept me on guiding me and stuff. And now, like when I did NXT UK, for example, I had like that total different gear. I was the French elegance. I was whatever I thought I was, and just like the coach came to me and said, "No, that's not you. That's just not you. No, it doesn't fit. There's a disconnect, and you feel it like between who you are and what you want to do in the ring. It just does not connect. It's not you. Go back to who the hell you are.
Yeah,
and go back to those spaces that just made you who you are, like the person, the adults, like you are, the women you are today. You were built and trained and educated like by the mat in Olympic wrestling. That's you. So go back to that and build yourself strong. And I also like so many advices and stuff and guidance that when I came back to the indie, I changed everything. Gear, in-ring, nickname, everything, whatever it was felt off or felt like disconnected to who I was, just left them to the closet, and I just came back to something different. And this is where just my career exploded, because I got booked everywhere because of that, I believe, because my in-ring changed and my everything changed.
So, so yeah, you felt that it was the NXT UK tapings were fundamental in kind of your ongoing development and to who we see today then, Mila?
Oh yeah, definitely. If I would have been to NXT UK and if I didn't have those tapings and those training camp and those training with the NXT coaches, this is not the Mila you would see right now. Like maybe 100%. You would just start to see her doing it and growing now, but not the way you see it, like not what I do right now. It would have taken much more time because I was hesitating, I wasn't sure, I was doubting myself, I was should I go this way, should I go this way, should I do this, should I do that, and they were just like so clear about it, like, no, this is where you should go.
Yeah, and they clearly confirmed, you know, in your own mind where you should be heading. You probably had these thoughts that it wasn't quite clicking, wasn't quite making sense. And then when they said it, it's like, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And did the pandemic have an effect or give you a chance to maybe reflect on your career so far? And did you make any kind of long-term choices based on your time out of the business when everything was closed down?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, when negative things happen, you always need to make something positive coming out of it, right? You want to turn every experience into a learning experience, into something positive at the end of the day. So it was really hard. 1 year and a half I didn't wrestle at all, but it gave me, first of all, it gave me the opportunity to do things that I'm not usually, that I don't have time to do, like give me the time to spend with my family, give me some time with my friend, give me time to recover, make my body recover, to fully focus on simple things in life that I don't have the time to enjoy really much when I'm on the road. I took the time as well to reflect on, of course, my career and my goals, where I was going and everything, but also like, because I couldn't wrestle, so you need to keep on training, yes, but then besides that, there's also the creative part in pro wrestling, so that you don't usually get the time to really just focus on this when you're on the road. So I really took the time to stand to just go brainstorming and said like stuff, put stuff on paper and think about it more deeply and more into details, whether if it was about gear, psychology, in the ring, whatever. And it was just trying to work differently, try to keep on growing and evolving without being in the ring, you know.
Yeah. And I've got to say that combined with the advice that you received during the NXT UK tapings just kind of gave you all the information, all the motivation that you needed to take you to that next level and beyond. I've got a couple of pictures. Absolutely. I want to bring up here. And of course, a picture of yourself and Lara yeah. Valkyria. And is that a Northern Lights suplex or some kind of suplex?
It is a double hook. Hook then. Yeah.
That's really cool. And then, of course, a backstage picture with yourself.
Yes, Mako and Artemis.
She must be a huge inspiration to you. Like, she has so many performers and talents around the world. But did you learn anything from Mako while you were at the tapings?
Sure. She also did some training sessions at the PC. She was, like, coaching for some sessions.
Yeah.
And she was giving some classes, and it was awesome. She's a legend. Yes. And what I like about her and about Japan is that it's a lot of martial arts and Olympic wrestling based. So there's a lot of things that we had in common, and we could, like, you know, I include into the pro wrestling training and stuff. And it was amazing to train with her because it was so inspiring. After 25 years of career, she's still like doing what she does and the way she does it. It's just incredible. Yeah.
Absolutely. The other thing I noticed kind of watching a lot of your matches and going through your socials is that you are very popular with the fans, aren't you? I'm assuming that you play babyface in quite a few of the promotions that you work for. Mm-hmm. But tell us a bit about your interaction with the fans, what they mean to you, and kind of, you know, how they help you, you know, in your professional wrestling career. What do the fans mean to you? You're obviously very, very popular.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, that's just who I am as well. Like, I'm a really sociable, friendly person. I love connecting with people. I love talking to everybody. I love human interaction. So it just came so naturally, you know, like, especially in that, I'm mostly babyface, so it's easier for me to connect with the crowd in a positive way.
Sure.
And yeah, the rest is just natural, that we just connect, and that is that exchange that you can't really put words on or explain. It's just something that is so deep, and so, you know, it's a chemistry, it's energy. Sure. You know, and that just makes me feel alive and makes me feel like that's what drives me too, is that connection with the fans and just like that energy and dynamic that you don't have anywhere else than in wrestling. You know?
And I think the other thing that the fans really love about you is that you're not trying to be something or somebody you're not. You go out there, you're very natural, very personable, very likable.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I just try to I'm just staying myself, you know?
Yeah.
Just staying myself. That's the way I am.
It works. It definitely works. Other thing I want to touch on is, and I hope you don't mind me bringing up these photos, but you also do a bit of modeling as well. Like I say, Olympic wrestler, bodybuilder, pro wrestler, gymnast, and model, of course, multifaceted, multi-talented. When did the modeling start? Is that something you've done for a while? I think those are possibly more recent shots, but when did the modeling start?
Well, I started, like, it's for me, first of all. I'm not working for any agency or anything at the moment.
Sure. Like,
if the opportunity comes, yeah, for sure, why not? But I'm doing this for me and my career as well, my socials and everything. It started, like, when I was 17, 18, because I was, like, not feeling good in my body. And so I started, like, doing photo shoot and stuff like that. And at this point, at this age, when I was a teen, it's sad because it was the only way I could find myself and beautiful.
Yeah.
Like on professional pictures, and when you edit the lighting and everything, you know, those were the only shots that I would think where I was beautiful.
Right.
And thinking about it now at 25, I feel like really sad, but yeah, that was my way maybe to feel good about myself. So I just kept on doing it. And also when I was like doing my tryout for whether if it was Olympic wrestling or bikini contest, bodybuilding, I was like doing this photo shoot during the year, just to be able to see my body evolution as well, because when you're in your own body, you don't get to see really or appreciate the results of your effort, whereas when it's on picture, you put the pictures together and it just jumps into your eyes, right?
Yeah.
So I used that for those two things, and then with the time I just like got used to it, and I just liked it, so I just did it more and again and again. And now with pro wrestling, especially as a woman in pro wrestling, I feel like it's also important to present yourself a different way than just as a wrestler.
Yeah.
We are like, especially like superstars or anything, and we so we need to present ourselves like in different ways on our social networks and publicly.
Yeah. Incredible shots.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, what's next for Mila Schmidt? And obviously you've got a glowing career, you've got many championships, you are the belt collector of European wrestling, of course. And I think one of the most talented performers on the UK scene, from everything I've seen, you've got a very, very bright future. But what's the dream? What's next for Mila Schmidt?
Wow, what's next? I don't know exactly what's next. I had like a lot of plans, goals or whatever. Definitely, I would love to have a contract somewhere in the big company, so I could, you know, have more TV time and do a different kind of wrestling, a different kind of, you know, my job a different way. If not, then if I stay in India, which I love as well, just wish me to keep traveling the world and keep wrestling with everybody. I would love to go back to UK on tour for sure. Love to go back on even like more often during the year to the UK. I love the scene.
Absolutely.
Been there, and I know, like I just follow the girls, some of the girls that I know who perform there every week and stuff, and I just love it, and I'm sure I would have like incredible matches with those girls. I also would love to go back to Japan, to go back to the US, to just keep on traveling and just keep killing it everywhere. You know.
Absolutely. We did have a question that came through earlier. It's a two-part question, but I think we'll look at part one. It's from Matthew Rodriguez, watching us live via YouTube. Thank you, Matthew. What are your memories of wrestling Nina Samuels in France? So Nina Samuels, a former guest of my show, one of the top UK performers, and Nina quite often travels over to Japan as well and across Europe. When was this match, and what are your memories of wrestling Nina Samuels in France?
So I loved every second of it. Nina she's a veteran in the UK scene, and she is awesome human being, sweetest heart ever, awesome worker. I think we connected really, really well in the ring, and we did like a really good match. I love that match. I love working with her. I could wrestle her every day. She's awesome.
Absolutely. Now, before we say goodbye, an opportunity, Mila, for you to throw out to my listeners, viewers out there, where we can reach out to you on social media. Now, scrolling along the bottom is your Instagram, your X, your Facebook. But tell us where we can reach out, where we can learn more about Mila Schmidt, see some of your pictures or footage, or just say hi.
Well, honestly, I'm more the social networks that I use the most are... Yeah. Instagram and Twitter, mainly Instagram, and I have a TikTok too that I'm trying. I need to work on this. I need to post more things. So
same. I'm terrible with TikTok. Maybe once every 6 months, but I need to get on there more often.
Yeah, same. I always like, you know, save those songs or those like video transitions and stuff like that to do cool stuff, and then have like shows, and then the shows are always a rush, so I have like ideas about the videos and stuff that I want to do, but then it's work is a rush and it's always like stressful, so and then I forget to do those videos and I forget to post them, and I'm like, oh, next show, and then, you know, I'm terrible at this.
There we go. But Mila Schmidt, if you've got any final words, any parting comments from Mila Schmidt to your friends, to your fans, to your followers, to sign us off this episode of Wrestling with Honours, what would you like to say?
Well, honestly, thank you all guys for your support throughout the years. It's been incredible journey so far, and it's just the beginning. So stay connected and see what's next.
Absolutely. But Mila Schmidt, thank you so much for being an awesome guest.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was great.
You're very
so much
welcome.
fun.